Triple M's Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast. Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Thanks to Carlton Dry, official beer of Origin.
Floptus still on the fritz.
Oh, yeah. Optus can't do the soccer, and now they're thinking about rugby league.
Bleak. Hitchhiking, is it okay in Brisbane? We put that as our can of worms today, Moon Man.
Yes, it should be okay, but obviously if you want to, you know, err on the side of caution, maybe it shouldn't be, but have a listen.
And finally... finally, something worth reading in a woman's magazine.
Oh, now, come on. The Weekly has a history. They're very good. Natalie Joyce finally opens up about her side of her marriage breakdown. And no, she was not paid for the interview.
Do we call her Nat Joe or Natalie Joyce?
Oh, Nat Joe.
Yeah, I like Nat Joe. Sounds like a 60s jazz singer, doesn't she, Nat Joe?
No, it sounds like a tasty Mexican treat.
Sure does.
Under your Nat Joe.
Get some Nat Joe in here. Enjoy the catch-up.
10 o'clock tonight, Denmark play Australia in the soccer. And the good news for all soccer fans is that Floptus has surrendered its rights to broadcast the... it surrendered its rights back to SBS. You can watch every game of the Soccer World Cup on SBS again now. So that part's all over.
Got to admit, corporately, it's massively... Ooh, what a massive fail.
Yeah, baby.
You get a once-in-a-four-year chance, mm-hmm. the World Cup, one of the biggest events in the world. You know millions of people are going to go onto your service. You've sold a whole lot of subscriptions, and you haven't got the product. Optus is just a joke.
Well, let's be happy that they're not doing the State of Origin, because this is how they would have butchered the miracle try.
Trailing 12-10, pushing it wide. Floats the pass down the touchline. Gets it in field. Gets the pass on the corner. End-to-end.
Oh, well.
I witnessed something yesterday that I don't think I've seen in Australia for 30 years, not openly anyway. I live near Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary, so often when you're driving down Fig Tree Pocket Road, you will see lots of Ubers dropping off people.
Oh, right.
You'll see the Lone Pine bus full of tourists, and you'll see people waiting at the bus stops after they've come out of Lone Pine, and then they start to walk heading towards Kenmore.
Well, thinking that's a good idea.
Thinking that's a good idea. It's not.
Yeah. How far is that?
Probably about 2 and a bit k's from the Lone Pine Sanctuary through to the main road.
But you get to Kenmore, there's still nothing there for a backpacker.
Oh, that's just Kenmore Road.
Yeah.
You've still got another k and a half to get to actual Kenmore. So
they may think they're walking back to the city.
Yeah, they're not.
No.
They're definitely not. But I was doing that yesterday. I was driving past yesterday afternoon going to pick my kids off the school bus, and I saw two young, I will assume, Scandinavian, because they were
Hello.
That very blonde, kind of blue-eyed, pretty young girls in their very early 20s, I'd suggest. Mm-hmm.
Swedish.
Yeah, looking gorgeous, just walking along the side of the road.
Wonderful.
But have you seen my Allen key?
No, but
Hold on, can I just check something? Are we allowed to do that? You know, racial...
Depends on the race,
generalisation.
Usually.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Anyway, as I'm driving past, the girls stuck their thumbs out to hitchhike.
They're hitchhiking because we smell like Norska.
Well, here's the thing, right? I got really disturbed by that.
By what?
Because I'm thinking...
they should have their finger out.
No, because you shouldn't hitchhike.
We've vulnerability,
been talking all
of
about
course.
This safety stuff, and then I'm thinking, do I pull over to offer them a lift? Do I pull over to tell them not to hitchhike? And then I had about four cars behind me, and I was coming up to the intersection, so I couldn't go back. And then I picked the kids up, and I drove back the other way, and they weren't there. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, someone's picked them up.
Oh, nah.
Now, Robin, this puts you – I know this is just splitting a bit of a hair here, but this puts you in an invidious situation as a feminist. Should you tell those women, yes, go ahead and hitchhike because you're young women?
Oh, you're thinking about what happened in Melbourne.
Or as a mother, should you say, don't hitchhike because it's dangerous and you're vulnerable young women?
Okay, in those particular moments, I'm not going to go on feminist principles. I'm going to go with my heart. And in that moment, I felt concerned – for those women. Does that mean that they should be allowed to or not? I didn't care in that moment.
Is hitchhiking illegal in Queensland? I know there were some terrible things. For anyone who doesn't realise, in the 70s there were some terrible incidents that occurred, and there was quite possibly one guy doing it all, killing girls who were hitchhiking. Every weekend, my sisters used to do it, hitchhike down the coast. It was the way you got to the coast. I used to do it every afternoon on the way home from school in the late 70s.
Okay, you're asking me. It is not illegal to hitchhike in Australia. I've just Googled it. Though it is an offence to obstruct blocked traffic by soliciting a ride from within the roadway. If you stay on the footpath, you're legally...
Still people doing it. And usually girls are used as the... If you're in a couple, the guy will sit with the dog on the side of the road.
I don't want it to be... I don't want people hitchhiking. It really upsets
me. I think two girls is safe.
Yeah.
Two girls is safe,
isn't it? So you think hitchhiking's okay now still?
Yeah.
With all the stuff that's going on in the world?
I would still hitchhike to this day. I always found it a very pleasant experience. But I used to hitchhike. But two girls, I would say two girls is safe.
Oh, I don't
know. No one's going to overwhelm two girls. One guy ain't going to overwhelm two girls. But if that's what you're thinking about, the bad part.
I did. I got concerned for them.
People driving Brisbane to Sydney, Brisbane to Cairns, all the time, they're arranging themselves over the internet. Why can't we have a little hitchhiking spot south of Brisbane and one maybe near Beams Road to go up the coast
allocated.
If you want to go to Cairns and go, yeah, if you want to go to Cairns, you stand here. If you want to go
can
to...
Can you be registered?
And do it by app or something. Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I'll get a sign up.
Let's open it up.
A government sign.
Open it up.
It's a big breakfast. Oh. Can of worms.
I'm just going to say, it's not okay to hitchhike. It did not make me feel safe. I could be paranoid. Do you agree or disagree?
Rick, our audio producer, just said this happened to him in the 80s down in Melbourne. He was coming in. He got he picked up a one blonde girl and a guy came out of the shadows. This is how it used to happen. You'd get boyfriend, girlfriend, the bloke would hide and the girl would come out, pulled a knife on him, and then he had to end up in the middle of a heroin deal in Footscray. So...
Okay, so I'll put
bad
Rick,
things happen.
Rick down for it's not okay.
Not okay.
Put him down as a no.
That's a no.
Okay. Might have been a yes. Footscray's got some good dumplings.
MJ of Deception Bay, what do you reckon about hitchhiking? I reckon it's not okay to do it.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, I've done it before in the past, but I've got to disagree with Marto in that a man can overwhelm two women. All he's got to do is hold a knife to one of them, and then the other one's forced to comply.
Yeah,
so in that way, all he's got to do is use manipulation and he can overwhelm the both of them.
Yeah. Thanks for the how to overcome two women
tutorial.
Tutorial, MJ.
But, you know, it's all about manipulation and men like that know how to manipulate and get someone to do what they're told.
Yeah, just watch Wolf Creek. Sorry.
Oh, so grim.
Matt of Springfield Lakes, what do you reckon about hitchhiking?
I think it's probably not real safe for the two females to do it. But what my concern is that I'm afraid to say that due to what's going on in the media at the moment. Like Lisa Wilkinson on the project saying, you know, that it's not their fault that women should be able to hitchhike whenever they want and all that. But we feel, you know, I feel pretty guilty saying that due to getting in trouble for it. So
you got to say what you feel, Matt.
Yeah, and it's a hard situation. I mean, she said, you know, it's our fault that all these women are being raped lately when, you know what I mean, like just the physical size between male and female, I mean, you know,
Matt, did you think about it in relation to what had happened in Melbourne in Princes Park with that Eurydice?
That is just another example of how I think the 21st century has got more dangerous. Did I think it directly resulting
There's
in that?
There's less of that happening. It's not more dangerous. It's less dangerous because that used to happen on a more frequent basis in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Bad men have been doing bad things for millions of years. Yep. It's not a new thing. And I think that for police to say women should be careful, it's like you're appealing to the sane side of the argument. You can't appeal to psychopaths and criminals to say,
not gonna listen.
Could you please stop doing it?
They're not
going to stop.
And I guess the middle ground in that is, yes, we do need to provide more lit areas and, yes, it would be great to have extra policing, but do what you feel is safe. Listen, Tanya of Middle Park has maybe a solution for hitchhiking. What is it?
So in Germany, they have a government organisation or program run that it's hitchhikers and it's professionally done by the government and it's very, very safe. And I think that's something that we can adopt here in Australia.
Good one. Well, you think, well, now we actually have trains. The reason girls from Brisbane used to hitchhike down the Gold Coast, there was no train and buses were crap. So that's why, if there's a better way, we should be doing it.
All right, Tanya, in the minority there, 80% saying it's not okay to go hitchhiking.
Okay. Mm.
I reckon it's a sad indictment on our world that people can't freely hitchhike.
You do meet interesting people.
You're right. Hello. When you go travelling, I don't care who I travel with, I feel so... Oh, maybe some countries.
Rick would never have seen a heroin deal if it wasn't for a hitchhiker.
That's right.
And when I'm hitchhiking, I'll only get in a Saab or a Volvo anyway. So it's kind of safe.
It's the big breakfast on Triple M.
Ooh, I'm so, so excited about this. I have been poring over this article. The Australian Women's Weekly is out today, and in it, an exclusive with Natalie Joyce. She is breaking her silence following the breakdown of her marriage to Barnaby Joyce and, of course, that tell-all television interview that he did with Vicky Campion.
How much did you get paid for this?
Nothing.
Ooh.
They have categorically said she was not paid this interview.
Which makes the vengeance all the much sweeter.
Doesn't it? What? Anyway, the thing, there's lots of stuff in this story. It talks about the moment that she he left her at the airport and went back to Canberra, and how, you know, there's a lot about their daughters and the fact that they've never met their half-brother Sebastian. But I think the thing that we most want to know is, what does Natalie think of Vicky Campion? Here goes a reading from the article. The woman Natalie describes as frighteningly ambitious and anything but trustworthy came into their lives much like a wrecking ball. She wanted my life from the get-go, says Natalie. This was a whole lot more than a fleeting office romance. The first day I met her back in 2016, so it's only 2 years ago, she was so cold. Barnaby gradually drifted from his family, and in the end, he stopped coming home. Natalie was desperate, so in March last year, when she was told her husband and his mistress were at their local electoral office in Tamworth, she jumped in the car and drove the 30 minutes into town.
Oh, what a journey that must have been.
So they lived just out of town.
Yep. On a big property, on a homestead.
Who told her it was a mistress?
It's Tamworth.
Someone in the office.
So people would know. The fact she went on national TV to talk about the stoush means it's best I set the record straight. Oh. I was very measured, said Natalie, of that day, and made sure I didn't raise my voice. She and Barnaby were smoking outside, and here is the sentence that I think tells all. Yeah. He bolted when he saw me.
He bolted.
Oh, yuck.
Here we go. I turned to her and said,
yuck.
My husband is out of bounds, off limits. He's a married man with four children. And then I called her a home wrecking, begins with WH and rhymes with door. It was not one of my finer moments. And no, they have written the word. I'm just not saying it.
Oh, no.
It was not one of my finer moments. But looking back, I'm proud I stood up to her. In late September 2017, I gave him back my wedding ring. He said, Nat,
give me that date.
Okay, so in September 2017, last September, I gave him back my wedding ring.
Wow.
He said, Nat, give me a week. I thought I had this sorted. I love you. You know that. I just beeped up. Not a week later, I got the news. Vicky was pregnant.
Ooh.
Wait. Whoa. There followed an emotionally charged meeting at the Joyce family home. I asked him to come home, she recalls. He said, I can't. She's pregnant.
Oh.
And I have to be there for my son.
What a kick in the guts.
I was wild. I said, what about our daughters? He always wanted a boy. And while the girls really are at the epicenter of his universe, we had no chance. She was giving him a son.
Oh,
wow.
The final insult. What a low act he is.
Isn't what that a full on
piece of work.
That'll finish him off, that article.
Yeah, I reckon it would.
Jeez.
Can you imagine I'm driving my tractor and I find out about this? I'm not voting. No one's voting for him in Tamworth.
I'm destroying one of my own fences as I head into New England to spit on his electoral office.
Spit into his ashtray. What about Telstra yesterday? Sacking 8,000 people. We're going to let you go. So we can become more agile.
Oh, what does that mean?
Exactly. What is any of the spin? Have a listen to some of it from yesterday, some of the spin they put on. This is good news for Telstra.
Around one job in every four will go at Telstra. 8,000.
We're building a new kind of network.
This is not about cutting one in four jobs. It's about fundamentally transforming the nature of products and services.
We're building a new kind of network.
The redundancies are part of a plan to split Telstra in two.
We're building a new kind of network.
It means that the two sides of the company are going to be able to focus more on their core businesses.
Core businesses.
What does that mean? It still doesn't make sense in my brain.
I hope that they're sacking some of those call staff over in Manila and also Calcutta in India, because This is unbelievable.
Hello, sir. How are you today? I understand you've got a problem with your phone. Please give me your first and last name and your last name and your date of birth. Hello, sir. What's your name, sir?
Listen, mate, I want you to sound more like an Australian, please.
No, please. Hope you're having a lovely day. Are you happy with Telstra? We're building a new kind of network, one without any workers in it. How are you today?
10 p.m. tonight, true Thursday night football. It's not two suburbs playing against each other. It's two great nations, Denmark playing Australia. We've got to work out who's going to be in our lineup and who the hell's in Denmark's. And to do that, we've got our soccer expert from News Limited, David Davutovic. Is that how I say it, Dave? Sorry.
Absolutely spot on. All good. It is the World Cup. Many different pronunciations. So all good.
I'm not Craig Foster, mate. I give it my best go, though. Hey, mate, give us the dummies guide to tonight. Like, we just want to know, is Azani going to play as Cahill and who the hell's in their team?
Yeah, good question. I mean, first, I guess, on the Aussies, look, I don't think they'll make many changes, if any at all, in terms of the first 11. Bert van Marwijk, the Aussie coach, he's very much a guy that, you know, he'll stick to his formula, even if it isn't quite working. So the fact they had quite a positive performance in the first game against France, albeit ending in a loss, I reckon he'll stick with it. But, you know, the substitutes in football, soccer, obviously make a massive difference. So Azani, for mine, will definitely come off the bench. He only played about 10 or 11 minutes the other day. I reckon he'll come on for at least 20 to 30. And I've been watching this kid really closely. He's the youngest player at this World Cup, and he's absolutely ready to fire. His confidence levels are off the chart. It's what you need to perform, you know, on a global stage. I mean, that first game, you know, was viewed by over 3 million people in Australia and a global TV audience of 200 million. Timmy Cahill is shortening in terms of coming on. The problem is there's four different striker options. One of them obviously starts, and they only play with the one up front. So, look, I think he will play at some stage, whether it's tonight against Denmark or the third game against Peru remains to be seen. And as for Denmark, there's one man that you got to focus on. His name's Christian Eriksen. He wears their number 10 shirt. He's impossible to miss because everything goes through him. He plays for Tottenham Hotspur in the Premier League. And in qualifying, for them to get into qualifiers, so to qualify for the World Cup, is massive. They're ranked 12th in the world. And nations such as Holland and Italy from Europe missed out. But this guy was involved in 70% of their goals.
Donaldson, that's a name that we've been wondering about. Princess Mary, who's she going to be barracking for?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one, actually. You know, we haven't been able to get to the you know, PR department of Princess Mary and co. But, gee, you'd have to have a foot in. In each camp, wouldn't he?
So, David, I mean, against the French, we did hold our heads up high. I think Australia did better than a lot of people thought they would. What do you think the score's going to be?
I'm tipping the Socceroos 1-0.
Dave, that's paying $4.50. Yeah. So is it worthwhile me having a little one?
Look, I'd have a little dibble dabble. I wouldn't put the mortgage on it. You know, it's a bunch of guys who have just continually been, you know, rejected throughout the course of their careers and been told, you know, you're not good enough, be it for A-League or various overseas clubs.
But we're really fit. We're really fit, Dave, aren't we?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, spot on. The data actually from the first round of games shows that we clocked up, or we were the third fittest team of the 32 nations. So that's absolutely massive. Now, it's actually been raining here in Samara today, and we're hoping for an absolute scorcher because we know the Scandinavians, they don't like the heat, and the Socceroos were training in Antalya, the south of Turkey, in wonderful conditions. Certainly for us, we were able to enjoy a few cocktails and whatnot when it was in the mid-30s. I'm not sure the Socceroos were enjoying it with their double sessions, but they've certainly prepared themselves for this tournament.
All right, wonderful.
That 10 o'clock, is a big advantage.
10 o'clock tonight, if you actually want to see the game, I turn it on SBS. Don't worry about Optus Sport. David Davutovic, Chief Football Writer for News Limited. Thanks for your time.
Good on you guys.
I will often pass by our fertile and fecund fruit bowl without a second glance because I've got no business there. But
what
recently,
do you mean you've got no business there?
Fruit is for children.
Vegans.
So important to get five fruit and veggie parts.
You eat a lot of fruit, Marto. It's very impressive. But I recently rediscovered the orange, the simple orange.
Oh, welcome back.
Monday morning, I reached into the fruit bowl, I pulled out an orange and I peeled it and I ate it and it nearly took my head off. The flavours, the delicious sensations of an orange. I was yelling out to no one that was there. It's like, this is awesome. It's a fruit. It's a piece of fruit. It's orange. Anyway,
how
I came
long
to
since you'd had an orange?
I was going to say, and this is a revelation because...
This is weird. You're a weirdo.
I reckon it's been 5 years since I've eaten an orange.
God.
Yeah, because I do oranges every week, or I used to do oranges every weekend for sport. Right.
So, but the thing is with the orange, like you get something from the orange you can't get from orange juice, which I know sounds obvious. And it was an explosion inside my head. So I came in and I started citrus chat with you guys. Like, what's your favourite bit of citrus? Yeah. Mandarin was there, a bit of grapefruit work.
Don't mind the mandy without the seeds.
Yeah, when they're sweet, Brendan, they're wonderful.
Brendo, the man who anchors our show, said to me, oh, there's this YouTube video about a guy peeling an orange so it ends up segmented. And I wanted to say...
What do you mean segmented? Like a mandarin?
Like a mandarin, yeah. You can just peel it and it turns
out
like a
who
mandarin.
Doesn't know this?
Well, that's exactly what I said to Brendo. I said, what do you think? I've never even eaten a piece of fruit before.
Yeah,
I've never peeled
an orange.
You're
looking at it like an animal. I've seen you peel a kebab. I've seen... I just didn't know how to peel an orange.
I know how to peel an orange.
Tell me how you normally
eat
them.
Sure, you've seen me peel a breakfast wrap.
Do you quarter your citrus?
Me?
Yeah, how did you try?
No, I peel it. I peel it from the base until it's one long piece of peel, and then I end up with an orange, hopefully that's not destroyed by your thumb.
Hold on. Have you got an orange snake like your mum used to pack you in your school?
Yeah, that's... Well, mum didn't peel that. Gary Wheeler's mum used to peel the orange, and I used to think, come on, mate, stand on your own 2 feet. But...
what?
Have you
you know how your mum peels it and then reattaches the skin so when you get to school you can just take it off?
The orange snake. Yeah.
Have you had an orange since that one orange you had for several years?
Gary.
The last one was when I was in year five. Okay. I was 10 years old, so welcome back, oranges.
The citrus industry welcomes you back.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Thanks to Carlton Dry, official beer of Origin.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow. The show.
Triple M.